All week I've been reporting in Houston. The big story here is, of course, how Hurricane Harvey changed the physical landscape of the city. But well before Harvey, the demographic landscape of Houston and Texas has been dramatically changing. Since 2010, there have been 2.7 million new Texans, more than half of them Latino. What does that mean for a red state like Texas? And is what happens here a window into what happens to America? To talk about this, I'm joined now by two Lone Star experts. Mimi Swartz is executive editor of Texas Monthly. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Jeronimo Cortina is an associate professor of political science at the University of Houston. Welcome to you.
Good morning.
All right, Jeronimo, we're going to start with you. Latinos make up a growing slice of Houston and Texas. The Republican Party in Texas has put in laws that Latino advocates, I think, see as draconian on immigration, ID laws. Democrats see this as an opportunity?
Well, as you noted, demographics in this state is politics. The only group that has been growing consistently over and over are Latinos, on the one hand. But also we have a different kind of Latinos. We have second and third generation that are going to school, are graduating from college. And to a certain extent, there have been enculturating political activism and political participation. So yes, Latinos need to vote in order to be an important voting bloc that political parties are going to pay attention to it. But most importantly, we have different kind of people involved in the political process, and that can turn the state into at least, as you said, being purple, at least more competitive. And we're seeing that level of competition in very important races.
Mimi, changing state demographics don't seem, though, to be making much of a difference to a Republican-controlled state house and a Republican governor.
Well, I think a lot of that is due to voter suppression, which we've got some horrible voter ID laws here. But the other problem, I mean, I grew up in San Antonio. I want, you know, the world of Texas to change at least to purple. But I've been hearing this story for so long about the Latino wave that's going to come and turn the state at least purple again. I mean, I agree, it's not a block. You have a lot of different kinds of Latinos and a lot of different generations. But I'm still waiting for that change. We need it now more than ever, I would say.
Jorna, why hasn't a bigger Latino population translated into more immigrant-friendly policies, at least?
Well, you have two things. One is obviously political participation, namely voting, right? Latinos have always lagged behind other groups in terms of voter participation. But also, on the other hand, you have, you know, very important laws that hinder or at least do not allow Latinos to have very important competition. Redistricting, drawing the maps in such a way that Latinos could not run very important campaigns.
Gerrymandering.
Of course. And also, I think it's at fault political parties. They're not investing in the future generation of Latino leaders that have to be prepared culture in order for them to run successful campaigns. But at the end, I think eventually, and I agree, since 2000, Latinos were going to elect a new president, right? But that hasn't happened. But at least at the state level and at the local level, we have to differentiate how Latinos can really play a very important role in elections.
Mimi, there is one big piece of evidence that shows that the Latino vote in Texas and outside Texas even hasn't yet been politically transformative. And that is, of course, the 2016 election. In Texas, you had an uptick in Latinos who were registered and turned out to vote, but it didn't really matter.
Well, again, I think, you know, you've got these horrific voter ID laws where, you know, that were designed to keep people of color from the polls, and that's working. I think there's an interesting difference. I grew up in San Antonio, where the Latino population is so much larger than in other cities and has so much more power, and you can really see it working there, I think. It works a lot better than in Houston or Dallas, where it's really, it's not just minority-majority, it's majority.
And we should also say that Latinos, of course, are not monolithic, and there are many
right.
conservative Latinos,
right.
Socially, if not politically. And so there is an opportunity for the Republicans to win them, possibly or not.
I think after Trump, I think there were, what do you think, but I hopeless.
I mean, it depends. It depends on the kind of Republican.
Yeah.
Texas Republicans, to a certain degree, some of them tend to be a Chamber of Commerce type of Republican, very practical, very interested on making things work and put aside things that are very controversial. I think, yes, Latinos are really the kind of voter that the Republican Party would be interested in. And if the Republican Party wants to survive, at least in Texas, they need to start to pay attention to Latino voters on what they want.
Mimi, Democrats are still planning on some robust challenges in 2018. I want to talk about the former Dallas County Sheriff, a Latina woman who is gay. She announced this week that she is running for governor. Can the Democrats make inroads by running strong candidates?
I would hope so. I think she sounds like a good candidate to me. But again, when you look at the power structure and the money of the Republican Party in Texas, she's going to have a very tough road. I mean, we've had a gay woman mayor here, but I just think statewide it's really going to be hard.
Agree?
Well, I agree. And also the Democratic Party, if they want to play hard, they have to show it and they have to invest in the state that so far the National Democratic Committee has not done so.
That's Jeronimo Cortina, an associate professor of political science at the University of Houston, and Mimi Swartz, an executive editor of Texas Monthly. Thanks so much.
You got it.
Thank you.
They both joined me here at the studios of Houston Public Media. And by the way, a huge thank you to everyone here, Jim Pivero, John Steele, Dave Failing, and Todd Holslander for everything. Tomorrow on Morning Edition, Monday is the last day of campaigning in the Alabama special Senate election. We'll have the latest on the race between Roy Moore and Doug Jones. That's tomorrow on Morning Edition.